Pastor Ray Bentley on what the Bible says about the end of the age.
For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. In other words, the sign that the end of the age has begun would be world wars. And we in this last century have had two world wars. And the world needs to start seeing that the kingdom is on its way, the footsteps of the Messiah and of the coming kingdom are beginning to happen.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. There's a plethora of Hollywood blockbusters on TV each day showing the world in great peril. People watch, they might eat some popcorn, and then they turn the channel. Maybe that's one reason too few are concerned that the real coming cataclysm could be right around the corner. Pastor Ray gets our attention today.
Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13. Tonight we talk about the Olivet Discourse and about the temple. Jesus has made a prediction about the temple, that it is going to be torn down. And the disciples are wondering when that's going to take place. And it's interesting, today the question is, when will the temple be rebuilt? And I believe that we are the generation that has been chosen to be alive, that this temple shall be rebuilt. And the prophet Ezekiel describes that the glory, the ancient glory that filled the temple, is actually going to revisit. It's going to come to this temple. All right, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, the first two verses. Jesus now predicts the destruction of the temple. It says in verse 1, "Then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, 'Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left on top or upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" So here, the disciples, I really wish that I could take all of you. In fact, I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all of you to Israel. We're just going to go. Are you ready to go? I would love. Oh, there's nothing I love more. I mean, you know, it's awesome. It's awesome being here and teaching you, but I love being in Israel. I love being outside under God's glorious heavens and being in that place. There is something powerful and dynamic about the physical ground. It is the promised land. It is holy ground. And the reason that it is holy is that there is one location, there is one place that God delights to let himself be seen. God is a spirit. And in this world, because of sin, we're separated from God, so he is invisible to us. And we live by faith. We walk by faith. But there was a time when God manifest his glory and let his glory be seen. That's what he longs to. I mean, this whole thing of living by faith that we don't see is only temporary. In the beginning, Adam and Eve saw God in the mountain, the Garden of Eden at the top of the mountain. They saw God. They saw the light of God and the glory of God, and God walked with them in the cool of the evening. How many of you would love to just be able to see God, right? And then because of sin, now we walk by faith. But this is temporary, and God is going to restore everything that was lost. He's going to bring it back, and so we shall see him again. But in the meantime, in this period of walking by faith, God still delights to manifest his glory. I mean, the greatest manifestation of his glory was through the incarnation and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But God also manifests himself in the Old Testament days through the temple. And when God manifests himself, what did God reveal? Or what did we see? Or what did God look like? There are many words in the scriptures used for it. Cloud, like a cloud. So I think that it's beautiful to see that, you know, tomorrow as you're driving around, and when you look at clouds, clouds are a natural picture of a supernatural reality. In other words, God has put many pictures of himself within the realm of nature that you can be able to see. So God is in a cloud. It's also described as like smoke, because in the midst of the cloud and in the midst of the smoke is fire, or like fire. So there's another, you know, natural picture of God, fire. How many of you, you know, enjoy having a fireplace, whether inside or outside? There's something very beautiful about a flame, about a fire itself. And fire, our God is a consuming fire. And so in nature, fire is like the glory and the glorious fire of the presence of God. Fire is light, it burns, it purifies, it's drawing, and so is our God. Then there are wings that are described. In seeing wings in the midst of the smoke and in the midst of the cloud, and obviously the wings are not the wings of God per se, but they are the wings of the myriad and the millions, let's say, of angels that are attendant around his throne and around his glory and around the presence of God from the very throne of God. So wings, what a beautiful and a glorious thing that God manifests his glory. When the priests came, as Solomon built the temple and they dedicated the temple, then smoke filled the glorious house of God and everyone fell down upon their faces because the glory of God, there's a weight to glory. There's a heaviness to the presence of the glory of God. And it just makes you want to get on your face and just cry out, hallelujah, glory, Lord, praise you. We love you. We worship you. Well, so this was the focal point of the whole Jewish nation 2,000 years ago. Here is the Messiah. Here is Yeshua, born by the miracle of the incarnation, divine. And all the glory of God dwelt in him bodily, and he is walking with the disciples right there on the Temple Mount where God had manifest his presence and his divine glory. And so in verse 1, the disciples are kind of, they're boasting about how beautiful this temple is. And they admire it so much, and they love it. They love the very stones of it because of the glory of God that is manifest here. And Jesus turns to this magnificent, beautiful, glorious temple and says, do you see that building? Every stone shall be torn down. And the reason Jesus had manifest the last three and a half years through his teachings and parables, because that temple had been defiled. Jesus had already talked about his view of this particular place. He said that my Father's house is to be a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves and of robbers. And therefore they had defiled, the religious leaders had defiled it. They had made a mountain that kept the people from the Lord. They had defiled it. Jesus would depart from it, and it would be left desolate. And finally, God's presence withdrew. In the book of Ezekiel, the prophecy of Ezekiel, Ezekiel saw that the sensitive heart of God, he had been rejected. They set up idols. Let's say this is like the temple area, and the Holy of Holies, they brought in idols and set up idols in the temple, turned their backs upon the Holy of Holies and bowed down and worshiped stone images and carved images of other gods. And don't you know that that hurt God's feelings? He waited and they kept turning their back on him and worshiping other gods. And finally, the prophet Ezekiel said there that the glory of God lifted up above the place of the Holy of Holies. It just went up. Like, you know, in a relationship, you get your feelings hurt so many times, and at a certain point, you take a step back and wonder, will they miss me? Did you notice I just took a step back? You're hurting me. And if they keep on going on and keep on offending and keep on hurting, then you take another step back. And so the glory of the Lord lifted up, and then it moved itself, and it went out to the east gate, the entrance of the temple. And God waited there. What's he waiting for? Hey, you guys over up there in the temple, bowing down to everything else. Did you notice I'm not there anymore? Can you feel that my presence isn't there? No, they were oblivious. So finally, having withdrawn to the eastern gate, and they didn't notice, and they didn't care, and they didn't return, and they didn't call on his name, and they didn't repent, he said, okay, I guess I'll take another step back. And he went all the way across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives, waiting, waiting, waiting. No one came. The priest didn't come. The people didn't come. Nobody repented. Nobody cried. Nobody missed him or felt it. And finally, from there, the glory just went right on up into heaven. It was gone. Ichabod. The glory is gone. And the glory of God came back when Jesus came. And now he was that living temple.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
We love hearing when Maranatha Radio and Pastor Ray's teachings are impacting lives.
Pastor Ray, I love your daily devotionals, especially your devotion on sharing our faith with others. I've been wanting to witness more about Jesus to my neighbors and friends, but I always get a little pushy. But your message was all about compassion, love, and gentleness. Thanks for a good lesson on how to reach others for Christ without driving them away. God bless you.
And we're so glad that Pastor Ray's teachings are helping. Would you take just 60 seconds and write Pastor Ray an email and let him know how these studies in God's Word have encouraged you? You can send that email to ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So here Jesus points to this temple and says it's going to be torn down. Now the disciples then are going to ask some obvious questions. And they want to know, look with me here in verse 3. It says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, so talking about the glory of the temple, here's Jesus himself with the glory inside of him, right where the glory once stood in the days of Ezekiel, the prophet. He sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. And Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? They ask the obvious question. And apparently they thought, okay, Jesus just said this temple is going to be destroyed. They thought then probably immediately after that temple is destroyed, immediately the kingdom age will come and the Messiah will sit on the throne of David and then everything will be glorious. Well, that was not what was going to happen. So this gave Jesus the opportunity to begin teaching them a prophetic message that is known as the Olivet Discourse. It is in the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. And they all talk about the Olivet Discourse. I want you to remember as we now go into it a little bit that this teaching grew out of questions that were asked of a Jewish rabbi, that being Yeshua, Jesus, by four Jewish men about a future Jewish temple. So that's the context of all of this. And so what he is about now to unveil will culminate in what the Bible describes as the tribulation and then the great tribulation. So beginning in verse 5, it says, and Jesus, answering them, began to say, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. For such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Now listen very carefully to this verse 8. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Or it's also translated, these are the beginning of the birth pangs. Now, here's what I want to share with you. Jesus is now giving them the answer to their second question. You know, so when will the temple be destroyed? And that would happen in 70 AD, 40 years after Jesus came. He gave them 40 years, a generation, to repent. They did not. So in 70 AD, God took a step back and allowed the Romans to come in, and the temple was destroyed. It has remained, empty and devoid of the temple for now 2,000 years, even to this very day and to this very hour. When you see all the Jewish people that are, at this wall and they're praying and they're bowing like they do, that is not a wall of the Holy Temple. That wall is actually a wall way on the outside. It was a retaining wall 2,000 years ago. So you say, well, why in the world? And by the way, it was originally called the Wailing Wall. They don't call it that anymore now that Israel's back, but they call it the Western Wall. Why is this so special? Why is it? It is because at this time, that is the closest that Jews are allowed to go to worship and to pray. The Temple Mount, and where the temple stood is up here. They're not allowed to go there. They're not allowed to go there and to worship and to pray, for that matter. Neither are Christians allowed to go there and to worship and pray, although, according to international law, it should be a place open to all, but it's not yet. So they are there, and they're waiting for the Messiah, praying for the Messiah, and praying, some of them, for the temple to be rebuilt. So Jesus begins, they're saying, so when is the temple, their idea would be, when would the temple be rebuilt? Or when will your kingdom come? Or when will everything be restored? Jesus begins answering them by saying this: when you have wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. These things must happen, but the end is not yet. In other words, there's going to be a long period of time. Well, now we know it's been 2,000 years. There will be national conflicts. There will be one nation maybe going after one particular nation, but the end is not yet. But then in verse 8, he says something very interesting. He says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, meaning simultaneously the nations and the kingdoms of the world all coming together and going to war. He said that will be the sign that the end of the age has begun. In other words, the sign that the end of the age has begun would be world wars. And we in this last century have had two world wars. This will then be, when there are world wars, Jesus said, the other sign, once there are global wars and world wars, there will also be famines and there will be earthquakes in different places happening simultaneously around the world. He said world wars and famines and earthquakes around the world will be the beginning of birth pangs. And the birth pangs are the birth pangs of the coming Messianic kingdom. It means that the kingdom is now about to be born. It's about to be given birth. And so I put in here into your notes, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom is a Hebrew phrase. It's a Hebrew idiom. It's a phrase in the original Hebrew that literally means world war. These birth pangs are what the rabbis called the footsteps of the Messiah. When these things begin to happen, they said literally, you can see the footsteps of the Messiah are beginning to make their way and the kingdom is on its way. So the first sign of that we are not only in the last days, but beginning of the end of days was World War I. 1914 through 1918. Was a fulfillment, specifically, according to the Hebrew understanding, when Jesus said, when there's nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, putting it into modern English, world war, that means the beginning. And the world needs to wake up and start seeing that the kingdom is on its way, the footsteps of the Messiah and of the coming kingdom are beginning to happen. So that was in 1914 to 1918. Now, historians agree that World War II was in many ways merely a continuation of World War I. How many of you have heard that? It was a continuation of what had begun there. And what's amazing is that both world wars and what happened around them had a decisive impact on Jewish history. In fact, World War I is what gave the impetus to the growth of what's known as the Zionist movement. And it was during World War I, specifically in 1917, that Jerusalem was liberated from the Ottoman Empire. There was a general. His name was General Allenby. And they, you know, the British were coming, and there was World War I, and so there was the Ottoman Empire. The British came to Israel at that time. Their soldiers are coming. They came now to Jerusalem, and they dropped leaflets all throughout Jerusalem. And the leaflets basically saying that Allenby is coming and that you need to, you know, get ready for what is to happen and not resist and not fight. Well, the saying is that many of the people who read it saw Allah or Allenby and thought it was like Allah. And so they decided not to fight. And he just kind of walked in to the city. And that you can look it up on the internet. General Allenby, the liberation of Jerusalem, 1917. And it shows him walking down the main streets of Jerusalem. It's a very powerful thing. So from a biblical perspective, it's what God was looking at World War I was what was happening in Israel, the liberation at that time of Jerusalem that took place in 1917. And what happened in World War II? Well, 3 years after the end of World War II in 1948 was the establishment of the Jewish nation of Israel. Just as I say, 3 years after the end of the war. Again, the epicenter and the impact after the Holocaust and the Germans and the Nazis from World War II was the modern rebirth of the ancient nation of Israel, the Jewish state, which had not been in existence for 2,000 years. Jesus said, when nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, when world wars happen, these are the footsteps of the Messiah. These are the signs that the end of the age. So while in one sense, the last days started with the resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago, the end of days really has been an ongoing thing for the last 100 years. So where does that put us today? Well, if the end of days happened with World War I and World War II, well, you see where Israel is in the midst. The Bible prophet said, it will create, I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all of the world. How many of you are aware there's problems with Israel and Jerusalem and surrounded by enemies? Are you guys aware of that? And it will be so until the very, very end when the Lord comes.
As relevant and timely as today's news, Pastor Ray Bentley with insights on the prophecies of the Bible as we study Mark chapter 13 today here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled, For My Name's Sake. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, when you click Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can link to Pastor Ray's Facebook page, his podcast, his YouTube channel, and Twitter feed. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books, On the Mountain of the Lord, and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on our site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.